Today's reading comes to us from Luke chapter 4, verses 1 through 15, the testing of Jesus. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing at all during these days, and when they were over, he was famished.
Command this stone to become a loaf of bread. Jesus answered him, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone."
Then the devil led him up and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And the devil said to him, "To you I will give all of this authority and their glory, for it has been given over to me, and I give it to anyone I please. If you, then, shall worship me, it will all be yours."
Jesus answered him, "It is written, worship the Lord your God, and serve only him."
Then the devil led him to Jerusalem, and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to protect you, and on their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not dash your foot against a stone."
Jesus answered him, "It is said, do not put the Lord your God to the test." When the devil had finished every test, he departed from him until an opportune time.
The beginning of the Galilean ministry. Then Jesus, in the power of the Spirit, returned to Galilee, and a report about him spread through all the surrounding region.
He began to teach in their synagogues and was praised by everyone.
The word of the Lord.
Thank you, Brian. This morning I want to ask you a personal question. Thinking about your life, things that could go right but maybe haven't. What is your biggest point of pain? What is your biggest pain point? What is it that gets in the way on a regular basis? What is it? Think on that, because God has good news for you today. In the reading this morning, I'm going to read through some more of this chapter, but we have the testing of Jesus. And in, I'll call this chapter one, I've got it in three different parts here. But in this first section, we learn that it's absolutely essential to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit before our success. Because Jesus was Jesus before he received the Holy Spirit, am I right? But it was not until he received the Spirit that he was able to do these things. Notice it says, he was filled with the Spirit, in the Spirit. So, for you and for me, and I want to take a page from this and learn how we should order our Christian lives. It is absolutely essential to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit before we can experience success, because, I mean, do we think we're better than Jesus? Jesus received the Holy Spirit, and he tells us that if you want this gift, he will give it freely. Have you asked for the gift of the Holy Spirit? Have you asked to be born again or to be in Christ? We experience powerful prayers in the Spirit. We experience more knowledge in the Spirit. We experience, the fruit of the Spirit can't come unless you have the Spirit, right? And so you might say, I do enough good things. I go to church. You know, I do more good things than bad. Well, that's good. But Satan's not afraid of you until you have the Spirit. And if you're dangerous to Satan, He's going to come after you. Well, that's it right there, Pastor John. I don't want Satan to come after me. Well, it's a good game because we win. Scripture reference for what I just stated is 1 Peter 5:8 and Romans 7:21. Both the Apostle Peter and Paul mentioned that whenever you want to do something good, Satan is there to snatch it away. But he's easy to shut down. How did Jesus do it? He shut him down with Scripture. He said, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him." And then he said again, "It is written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." He couldn't defeat him because the power of God is the rule, and Satan's doom has already been assured. You and I, as Christians, have the opportunity to live eternal life. If you're dangerous to Satan, he's coming for you, and you can shut him down with Scripture. Jesus didn't do great things before he had the power of the Spirit, so how can we expect to do that? Well, I don't really need that, Pastor John. Yes, well, Jesus needed it. It's absolutely essential to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit before we have success in our Christian life. Then we can experience powerful prayers, great knowledge, the spiritual gifts, and the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, and peace. Do you think the world could use more love? Could you use more love? If you knew in here, you know your mother loves you, I hope. I hope she does, because there are some others that don't. But you know inside that your mother loves you. Jesus wants to give you his Holy Spirit. And he's there for the asking. And you can ask until it comes. Some people say, "Well, I prayed once, Pastor John. It didn't happen, so I'm done with that." Well, okay. But that's not very scriptural either. They that wait upon the Lord will receive strength and will receive the answers to their prayers. Another benefit from the Apostle Paul says that we are purified by God's word, which cleanses us. Did you know that if you read the Scripture, now some of you are reading through the Bible every year like I do, and there's something about that holy word, when we read it, it moves us. It changes us. And the Apostle Paul says what's happening there, and John says it as well, but what is happening there is that the Word of God is actually cleansing us and purifying us. Now I want to read about the rejection of Jesus at Nazareth, and we'll give you a few words on that. When he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. Now this is his hometown, okay? He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written in Isaiah, quote, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set free those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." This is a messianic passage in Isaiah, and Jesus read it, and then he took the scroll. I mean, this is like, what do they say? A mic drop? You know, he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. Then he began to say to them, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." He said this in front of people that knew him from the time he was a baby. Everyone spoke well of him and were amazed at his gracious words. They said, isn't this Joseph's son? He said to them, "Surely now you will quote to me this proverb, 'Doctor, cure yourself,' and I will say, and you will also say, 'Do here also in your hometown the things that we've heard you've done in Capernaum.' And he said, 'Truly I tell you, no prophet is accepted in his hometown. But the truth is, there were many widows in Israel in the time of Elijah, when the heaven was shut up for 3 years and 6 months, and there was a severe famine over all the land. Yet Elijah was sent to none of them except to a widow at Zarephath in Sidon.'" So what Jesus is saying is this: you Jews, and he is a Jew as well, he said, there was a time when there was so much evil and there was so much doubt, there was no faith, that Elijah had to go somewhere else to work. There was a widow, a Gentile widow in Zarephath, who received goodness and healing. There were also many of a skin disease in Israel at the time of the prophet Elisha, and none of them was cleansed except for Naaman, who was a Syrian. And so Jesus is pointing out that God's people have not been very good at being God's people. They have forgotten about God. They have denied the power, and they have gone their own way. And after these revelations, which were true, the people got up, drove him out of town, and led him to the brow of the hill on which their town was built, so that they might hurl him off the cliff and kill him. But miraculously, he passed through the crowd and went on his way. So in chapter 1, we learned it's absolutely essential to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit before we can have success. We want powerful prayers and knowledge and spiritual gifts, the fruit of the Spirit. To have the fruit of the Spirit, to have these things, we need to have the Spirit. And if you're dangerous to Satan, he's coming to you. 1 Peter 5:8, Romans 7:21. And we can shut him down with Scripture. Jesus didn't do great things before he had the power of the Spirit. So how can we expect to do otherwise? Knowledge and spiritual gifts and the fruit of the Spirit are waiting for us. But there's a ball game on. But there are other things to distract us. There are some things that are more important. And if they have not been taken care of, they need to be taken care of. And again, the Apostle Paul and the Apostle John both say that the Word of God purifies us as we bathe in the reading of the Holy Word and let it do what God has intended for it to do. And so what do we learn from this second part? So I've just reviewed the first part. The second part, I'll call it the Christian Life Chapter 2. Some people will be very uncomfortable with you when you share the truth of God. I don't know if they're going to take you outside of town and try to push you over a ledge, but there are some people, and church people even, who will be very uncomfortable with you when you share God's truth, that you must be born again, that there is a Holy Spirit, and you need to, you know, and if you want to have power in the Christian life, that that's where it's at. They become angry because there's something inside of them that they know is dying, and it doesn't sit well from them. They're still holding on to salvation through their good works. I think I've done more good things than bad things, Pastor John. That's not what it's about. We do the good works to show our thanks. It has nothing to do with saving us. They're hoping good works will outweigh their bad works has been challenged by the message of Jesus. And now they are ready to kill and murder him. And Paul, in Galatians chapter 1, and you might want to write this down, Galatians chapter 1, Paul writes this letter to the Galatian church, and he says, this is a synopsis of it, God had called them and saved them, and so they were born again, and but now they were deserting him because there were some people coming around that said, you know what, you need to follow the law, that's how you are saved. And Paul calls it the bondage of the law, from which Christ set us free. And this is what Paul says, quote, and this is in verse 8, so it's Galatians 1:8 if you want to look at it, but I would encourage you, if you want to read about that, read the first three chapters. Paul says in verse 1:8 in Galatians, if anyone preaches a gospel contrary to the gospel of grace, that would be in opposition to the gospel of works, good works, okay, on your own, okay? Okay, so I'll read it again. If anyone preaches a gospel contrary to the gospel which I gave, which is the gospel of grace, let him be accursed. He is a false teacher. if you go back to works-based righteousness, then you don't have the Spirit. And finally, the third section, there is a man with an unclean spirit. So after they tried to kill him, in verse 31 we read these words, he went down to Capernaum, a city in Galilee, and he was teaching them on the Sabbath. They were astounded at his teaching because he spoke as one who had authority. In the synagogue there was a man who had the spirit of an unclean demon, and he cried out with a loud voice, "Leave us alone! What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be quiet and come out of him." Then the demon, throwing the man down before them, came out of him without doing him any harm. Everyone there was astounded and kept saying to one another, "What kind of word is this, that with authority and power he commands the unclean spirits, and they come out?" And news about him began to reach every place of the region. So what does that mean for us today? That means that we have the power of the Spirit. And there are spiritual gifts, and not everybody has the ability to cast out demons. Okay? But as we've already learned, when we are in the Spirit, we can do greater things than we can do without the Spirit. So, rehash. Repetition is good. In the first chapter, if you're dangerous to Satan, he's coming for you. 1 Peter 5:8 and Romans 7:21. But he's easy to shut down. With Scripture, he's done, because he knows it's true. And we need to remind ourselves that Jesus did not do great things before he had the power of the Spirit. So how can we? So my summation for that is this: stay in the Word and stay in prayer. I'm going to give you one little aside. I was reading something from a woman who was a Satanist, actually, and she said, "You know, my experience as a Satanist, I have something to say to Christians." She said, "If you are praying all the time, which the Bible tells us we should be doing, are you, so in other words, every day, do you have a running conversation with God? Jesus, thank you, I love you, I mean, it's much easier if you turn off our toys, right, off the phones and all that. But if you stay in the Word, and if you stay in prayer, this woman said, she said, Christians are easy targets. She said, but, she said, if they're praying, we can't get through. We cannot get through to them. And so they live a life without danger of Satan invading their privacy. There is a dome. The way she put it is, it looks like a blue dome that is covering the Christian who is always in prayer. The second section again. Some religious people even will be very uncomfortable with the true gospel of Jesus Christ. Inwardly, their spirit is very anxious, while yours is very much at peace. Remember, if you have the Spirit, you have love, joy, and peace, the fruit of the Spirit. There is more, but love is great, and joy, it seems like nobody has that in our culture. It seems like everybody is on so many medications, and they've got so many things they've got to do. Their minds are full. And love, joy, and peace, the fruit of the Spirit, they are great for you. But to others, they reveal something that is missing in their own life. And they often, and that will be exhibited in two ways. They will either be hungry for what you have, or angry at you because of what you have is better than what they have. And the section we just read, the man with the unclean spirit, when we are in the Spirit, we can do greater things than in our own power. What are your spiritual gifts? We each will have spiritual gifts. Pray and ask for the Holy Spirit to come into your life. Why is it? Why is it that we can do greater things than we could in our own power, because the scripture is very clear that our flesh is a slave to sin, but the Spirit gives us power over our bad habits. So stay in the Word, stay in prayer. God's Word purifies us. This is John 15:3 and 17:17. We are washed and bathed and cleansed by the Holy Word, and if we spend our time in it, it will do the work that God has ordained it to do. So, brothers and sisters, we can do all things through Christ who gives us strength, through His Holy Spirit. This is Philippians 4:13. We can do all things in Christ, through Christ, who gives us strength. Philippians 4:13. So back to my question at the beginning. Where is your biggest pain point? What is it that if God could move that, could change that, would be a blessing to you? It's been on your mind. It tortures you sometimes. It makes you restless and sleepless, and it drains your energy. What is your biggest pain point? It may be an addiction. I know the men in the audience can tell you that there is absolutely no pornography out there that's available. It doesn't invade our phones. It doesn't invade. Someone said that a boy can see more of that than he would ever see in his lifetime 100 years ago. God spoke to me as I was preparing this sermon about your healing, because He loves you. And so you need to pray to God for Him to heal your biggest pain point. Whatever it is, write it down, think about it. Whatever that is, pray about it. And if you want me to join you in prayer, I'm happy to do that. But pray for the Holy Spirit to come into your life, for you to be born again, and for you to have victory over sin and to heal the pain points in your life. This is the message we learn from the chapter today on Jesus. Shall we pray? Lord, thank You for loving us. Thank You that we are overcomers. Lord, You have given us everything that we need for success in this life. All we need to do is ask for it and to move ahead with it in faith. We thank You for loving us. We thank You for this life. And all God's people said, amen. The bread of life is Jesus. The bread of life is Jesus, and He calls us to new life, to an overcoming life, just as He did.